Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your saber calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, Indigenous communities benefit from student-run dental clinic enhancing oral health. Research conducted by the University of Queensland has shown dental clinic managed by students in rural Queensland has significantly enhanced the oral health of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community members. So with that, I'm going to catch up a yarn now with Dr. Sandra March, representative from UQ's School of Dentistry. And on the line, we have Dr. Sandra. Good morning, Dr. Sandra. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Trevor. Good morning to everyone.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. So you're based in Brisbane, yes?
Yes.
Fantastic. Indeed. Lovely. Look, this is fantastic. A great opportunity for students in the dentistry world, but also working with communities and, kicking goals, I would say. Yes?
Yes, we feel really that it's a win-win situation all around. We've known for a long time that students benefit from these clinical outplacements, as we call it, where they go and work off campus and hone their skills. But what we set out to do with our research was to see what benefits to the community there were, and, you know, looking at economic benefits and social benefits, sort of just to have some actual proof to sort of back up the assumptions we'd made that we were kind of being helpful. Well, yes,
a lot of our mob and community have struggle street in regarding getting to dental health because they live out in the communities. So bringing the mountain to the people, as I would say.
That's the big thing, really, is improving access for the community. And we feel that's so very important part of this is the partnership between the university and with the Gundia Health Services.
A big shout out, Gundia, big shout out.
Yes,
fantastic.
Yes, for Southwest Queensland. So Gundia is very proactive in their sort of holistic way of looking at health.
Yes.
And they include oral health sort of assessments in their general checkups, medical checkups.
Yes.
And having the dental clinic upstairs in the same building means that, you know, if people get a referral, it's really easy to go and book.
Yeah.
It's easy to get your dental treatment at the same time as you're seeing the doctor or the diabetes support group or you know, going to the pharmacy. So,
and there'd be numbers would be pretty high regarding patients.
Improve the oral health, but improve the awareness of people, of community, in the need, you know, the importance of oral health in their general health too.
Yes. Dr. Sandra, can you hear me there? No, I've lost Dr. Sandra March. We'll try and get it back, continue that conversation. So very important, Dr. Sandra March, talking about the students, dental students, who are going to First Nation communities and working closely with Gundia Health Service, big shout out, Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Service in Queensland, Southern Queensland, and having over 800 Indigenous patients from Dalby and the Greater Western Downs region, which is fantastic. So virtually killing two birds, one stone. Students are active in regard to their profession as they study, but also providing oral health care for our mob out in communities. We'll try and get Dr. Sandra March back. She represents representative from UQ, University of Queensland School of Dentistry. So, Dr. Sandra, thank you. Lost you there, got you back. So it's a two-way street, fantastic for the students, but fantastic for our mob working out, who living out on country and sometimes hard to get in. So, like I said, we mentioned Gundiya Health Service. Big shout-out to them, Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Service, and working with University of Queensland School of Dentistry. The students, are they First Nation?
We do have a few. We would like many more First Nation students.
Yes.
You know, I think the university as a whole is trying to encourage more First Nations people to be involved.
Mm.
In fact, many of our students are actually international.
Okay.
We find it's interesting because, you know, countries they come from, and particularly we have students coming from Canada where, you know, relating and communicating with Indigenous folk is really important for, equally important for them.
Exactly.
For, you know, Australian students. But on the whole, I think there's a push to try and increase the oral health and health workforce in rural areas. And that's why programs such as ours are actually funded, you know, by the federal government to try and increase the interest in people, you know, the idea being if you spend some time in community, then you're perhaps more likely to actually, when you graduate, go and work there too. You know,
exactly, it creates, it gives them that platform, doesn't it?
That's right, greater awareness of the needs of people and the fact that living in the country, in rural areas, is actually quite desirable a lot of the time.
Yeah, too. Fantastic. So with the students going out there, how long has this been running for, Doctor?
We actually set the first clinic up in 2013, so nearly 10 years now.
10 years, good.
By the end of this year, we'll have had I think 180 of our students over the years will have attended a placement.
Yes.
The placements run for sort of 8 to 10 weeks there, so to give them a good chance to actually get to know the patients,
you
know, so that the clients aren't always seeing someone different.
Yeah, that's true too.
And sort of getting treatment done.
Mm.
But there's a second clinic opened in St. George, a little bit more remote, in 2017. And that clinic's sort of gone gangbusters as well, too. It's been, both of the clinics have been very well accepted by community.
Well, if you look at it, it should be templated across the country. This is a fantastic concept.
Well, I think so, yes. I think it is. You know, that's one of the reasons we were trying to sort of get the word out as much as possible. I know for dentistry particularly, it's difficult because of the fact that you've got to have the chair and all of the setup. It's very expensive to actually do dental clinics. But we kind of feel that the other allied health services, where perhaps the infrastructure doesn't cost as much, they're equally sort of easily integrated into these programs with the community health services.
Yes.
And it's so important to have that sort of input from both sides, I think.
Exactly.
You know, the partnership is the key.
Yeah, and partnership is so very important.
To success, really, and sort of a win-win for everyone.
Exactly.
We've certainly discovered, looking at the figures of patients that attended the Queensland Health Government Clinic in Dalby, which is a separate clinic altogether, the waiting lists there have decreased noticeably since the student clinic set up.
Fantastic.
Now you think, well, that makes sense.
It does.
It should work that way, but it's just really nice to get confirmation that it actually has benefited the community as a whole through there, and you know, that kind of puts an extra win into the situation too.
So proven success.
So we're really proud of the way this clinic has worked out. And couldn't have done it without the Gundjia folk.
Yes, exactly, team
and
effort.
The fact that the Gundjia people feel it's their mob.
Yeah, their mob, exactly.
Running the clinic, you know, it's their place.
Exactly. And providing
that
the service
has really opened up the access so much more that people come from several hundred kilometres away to actually attend the clinic.
So it's Dr. Sandra there, Dr. Sandra March, representative from UQ School of Dentistry. Fantastic, proven success it is, and having dental students going to First Nation Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities and working closely with the mob there, and having Aboriginal Community Control Health Service at the table as well. In this case, Gundjia Health Service. Fantastic. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416.
A shy black boy who came to the city to learn about life, and now his people lost their lives. His parents died when he was just a child, and now his life is mystified. Black boy, black boy, black boy, black boy, black boy. The color of your skin is your pride and joy.
Kernigan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
I met you in the mango rain. The sun would hide, then come back. Then you wave goodbye.
taka, maka taka, tia toka.
In the mango rain.
Maka taka, tia toka, maka taka, tia toka.
Thank you.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on our national talk track, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
Freedom there, Maya Power, featuring Archie Roach here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Call that number, yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie. I come to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM, Bumma Bripa Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Oh, we're going to catch up a good friend of mine, David Buster Maxwell. Pommy brother, a black man from the motherland, they call it. And a very good morning to you. How are you going, brother?
Good morning, Trevor. Thank you for having me on the show. I'd like to pay my respects to elders past, present and emerging in all the lands that this broadcast goes out to and where we work now.
Right, thank you very much, my brother. Now, you've gone through some ups and downs in regarding to prostate, and we're going to talk about that, but also got on the line Anne Savage, CEO, Prostate Cancer Foundation of Australia. Let's check if she's there. Anne, good morning. How are you? Anne, hello, Anne? No, we'll try and get Anne back. Lost Anne there, but we'll continue the yarn. So we say to Mob Buster, who your mob were you from? Who's David Buster Maxwell?
My mob, as we go heritage-wise, my father is from Nigeria, Eastern Nigeria, in particular a little village called Isiokpo.
Isiokpo?
In the River State. My mother was from Jamaica and grew up mostly between Mandeville and Kingston.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah. Beautiful footprint. I'm just checking. We got Anne Savage. Anne, good morning. No, Anne's not coming through. Sorry, we'll try and get Anne in this conversation. She's the CEO of Prostate Cancer Foundation of Australia. Talking to Brother Buster here. Unfortunately, you've picked up the prostate cancer. How are you travelling and where are you at with it, brother?
So I'm almost 3 weeks after an operation. So I had a family history of prostate cancer. My father passed away from that some years ago. And so I've been checking my prostate. So I've gone through treatment and surgery. And now just in recovery period, I'm, like I say, almost 3 weeks, so probably another 3 weeks to four weeks before I'm ready to look at getting back to work in a limited capacity,
Okay, fantastic. In regard to you getting back to work and things looking good, I'll just try again with Anne Savage. Anne, good morning. How are you?
Hi, I'm well.
Oh,
how
good.
Are you?
Well, I'm well, thank you, Anne. Trevor here. So you're the CEO of Prostate Cancer Foundation of Australia, yes?
Yeah, I sure am.
And where are you based, Anne?
I'm based in Sydney, mate.
Okay, fantastic. And I've got David Maxwell Buster here. Or David Maxwell, we'll call him Buster. So he's a patient with prostate cancer. So we're talking about this sickening disease. Prostate cancer is the most commonly diagnosed cancer in Australia and the most commonly diagnosed cancer among Australian men. So confirming, Anne, only men get prostate cancer, is that right?
Look, anybody with a prostate can get prostate cancer. That generally is people born male.
Okay.
Yes, correct.
Okay, thank you, thank you. Numbers are high in real. This is said is prostate cancer is mostly common diagnosed cancer in Australia. So, what sort of numbers are we talking at?
Pretty high numbers, in fact. So you're talking at least 25,000 Australian men every year.
Okay.
One man every 22 minutes diagnosed in Australia. And really tragically, and a key part of our work is, you know, the fact that around 10 men die every single day from this disease.
Yeah.
So it's a really serious one, and guys can't afford to be complacent about it.
Sure. So is there a test as such, or what do you do to prevent prostate cancer?
Early diagnosis is really important, and there is a very simple blood test that you can get to help detect prostate cancer early.
Mm.
It's called a PSA test, and GPs can request that test for men. It's really important, though, for men to be aware of their family history of the disease, because that does increase your risk of being diagnosed.
Okay, and then when we're talking prostate cancer, any age we're talking? What ages?
No, look, typically it's the risks of prostate cancer increase as men age. The prostate is a reproductive gland, and for that reason, I think, you know, probably from the late 30s, early 40s, men need to be aware of this disease, particularly if they have a family history.
Yes.
But it'd be pretty rare to see it in men under the age of 35. We do know is that, men once they hit 40 need to be very aware of it, especially for men who've got the family history of the disease. From the age of 50 and onwards, you probably want to be, if you don't have a family history, you definitely want to be talking to your GP about whether or not you should be undergoing routine testing, and we would certainly recommend that you do. Yeah.
Lovely, and thank you. So we're talking to Buster here, David Maxwell Buster, the nickname, David. David, so, you've unfortunately picked up prostate cancer. You've gone to the through the testings, and so we're out with it now. You said 3 weeks and you can start working, and so things must be looking good.
Well, yeah, 3 weeks post operation, but 6 weeks is generally return to sort of light duties is what I'm being advised by my medical team.
Yep.
And obviously that depends, as you guys know, I'm a nurse.
Yes, you are a nurse.
And so I work in rural and remote areas, so that may require me to take a little longer off because it's a little more strenuous possibly in rural areas. And the on-call is, you know, I have to manage how I'm going with the on-call, you know.
Well, I will say this, my brother, being a black man, a brother from another mother, being a nurse, working in community, that is good medicine for you, I would say, brother.
Yeah, it is. It is. For those of you out there, Trevor and I have known each other for a while, and occasionally we cross paths at festivals and that, which we did recently at the Laura Festival, and that was certainly good medicine for my soul, even though I was feeling a bit below par at the time. It was really good to get out on other people's country and interact with the dancers.
Beautiful.
And see that, yeah.
So, listen, you've come to this time in your life, prostate cancer upon you. Then you got active in regarding, promoting the cancer and then also fundraising. So tell us about that space.
So because of my journey, actually, I would say I probably harassed Anne and her team with an idea of developing an ongoing awareness.
Yes.
Prostate Cancer Foundation do lots and lots of fundraising, and I urge people to go to their website and look up what is available. They do things throughout the year.
Yes.
For me, I just wanted to join that bandwagon and create those conversations in my networks and broader, that people do go out and get tested, that they do look at it. They have the conversations, more importantly, in the time that I've been having this conversation with Anne and her foundation. Actually, two friends of mine have gone out and got tested, one with no family history, very healthy eater, very fit person, and has been diagnosed with prostate. A higher prostate PSA test than mine was for cancerous. Yeah. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean he's got cancer, but he would never have thought about going to get that check had we not had that conversation. So Planet Prostate is the event I've kind of come up with this week leading into Prostate Awareness Month, which is annually in September. Mm-hmm. And it's just the idea was to, you know, go bigger than Ben Herbert. From little things, big things grow.
Exactly. We should write a song about that.
We started small. Yeah. We've got a few people come on board. Obviously, the Prostate Cancer Foundation of Australia have come on board. We're also working with a local charity here in Cairns, obviously in a local area called Couch. But the idea, the most of the money and most of the fundraising and the online platform for Prostate Cancer, Planet Prostate, is on the Prostate Cancer Foundation site.
Okay.
So you can go there and search Planet Prostate and you'll see you can donate. There's a little bit about me, but it's very scant because in the middle of all this, I wasn't doing so well health-wise. So I'm now just ramping it up for this September. So I'll be putting more little bits of information, maybe links to interviews and things like that.
And you're still with us, Anne? Oh, we lost Anne.
I'm right here. And look, we are big fans of David and
you know,
all the work that he's done to raise awareness. He's been tremendous, and we really appreciate it. I mean, community action is key to prostate cancer control. You know, there's no other way of getting the word out there as effectively. And David has been absolutely incredible in helping us to do that. So we're very grateful.
With the funds that, like for example, David raises. What happens with that money? Can you paint that picture, please, Anne?
Oh, I sure can. Look, so as you guys would know, we fund prostate cancer specialist nurses nationwide, including nurses in the Cairns area.
Yeah.
That's really important. So, you know, our nurses make sure that men get the advice that they need when they're going into treatment, because there are a range of options for treating prostate cancer. It's a really complex disease. And then our nurses are there to support them in the days immediately following, whether it's surgery or radiation, and then the years afterwards as well, when a lot of men will continue on their treatment. Money also goes to research, and research is critical. And you know what, 95% of our donors say that that's really the most important area of funding for them in terms of the work that we do. And that's because it really does help us to save lives. So we're funding one of the biggest trials in Australia at the moment, called the Evolution Phase 2 Clinical Trial.
Mm-hmm.
We're really trying to find a way to absolutely beat this disease. And that's the sort of stuff that's allowing us to improve survival rates. So we've got really high survival rates right now, and we've just got a little gap that we've got to close and ultimately, you know, keep working towards defeating it, and that's what we're doing at the moment.
Lovely. That's beautiful, Anne. Thank you. So, David, back to you in regard to first finding out, what were the symptoms, or were you feeling weak and thought you'd go for a checkup and then you found out a prostate, or tell us your journey there, please.
Well, in my case, like I said, I had family history. My father passed away in 96 from that, so I was fully aware that there are hereditary possibilities with prostate cancer. So I was checking regularly. But just I'd like to add a little thing in here, that a lot of men are reluctant to even talk or discuss this or go and get a test.
It's good while we're having this yarn, yes.
As Anne said, it's no longer the old style examination that we used to have. It's just a blood test. So
No bending over.
Well, that's good to know. Yeah.
And that's why people are, well, brothers are hesitant.
Absolutely.
And go for the test.
So when you go and get your normal yearly health check, or when you visit your doctor every couple of years, if you're in that age group, just you know, go and check. So for me, I was following and it started to rise slowly. But because of my work, in rural area, as people in those areas would know, you don't always get access to services. And as I had no symptoms whatever, I adopted a watch and wait until I was able to get to a bigger center, and then followed up there. And that took, you know, a few months to go through because of me still working remotely and moving around. I was actually first diagnosed in Darwin, but I was traveling, working in Cairns at the time, but I'd already started the process.
Okay.
So, you know, that for me was difficult. It's a lot easier, like Anne says, if you contact your prostate cancer nurse and your urologist and all those people when you're stable, in a stable workplace and home, to get those services done.
So as a nurse, qualified nurse, would you look at getting back to work and then hone in on prostate as a nurse, prostate nurse?
It's certainly a possibility. I haven't spoken with Anne about a future job yet.
But. Sure, okay. There you go, Anne. Yeah, that's right. Okay, fantastic. In regards to the month of prostate cancer awareness, that is September, is it?
It sure is, you guys. And, you know, we've been
early.
A big... Yeah, why not?
Too? Why not? Exactly.
We're winding things up as well, in the sense that getting people amped for our big campaign for the year is called The Long Run. People are welcome to jump into that too if they don't, you know, if they're not local to the Cairns area and can't get along to any of the things that David is organising.
Sure.
Just go to thelongrun.org.au and there's plenty of stuff there as well for people to draw from.
And thank you very much. Good yarning with you. We'll let you go, sister. Anne Savage, CEO of Prostate Cancer Foundation of Australia. Good yarning with you. Thank you so very much. And thanks for supporting David as well.
Oh, look, thanks for all the work you guys do. You're ace. And David, good on you, mate. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much, Anne.
Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye.
So, deadly yarn there with Anne Savage, CEO of Prostate Cancer Foundation of Australia, and talking to my deadly brother here, said brother from another mother. He's Pommy Blackfella from England, the motherland, so-called motherland, living here, now nursing, well, qualified nurse. Tell us your connection with our mob. I mean, you got that black skin, and brother always greet brother no matter where they are. How did you get amongst dealing with our mob? I know Shawnee Chilbers at the table. You're a good friend of Shawnee Chilbers. Yeah. That in itself will open up a lot of doors in this country if you had a good friendship with Shawnee Chilbers.
It did. Well, it started when I was actually doing my nursing study, and Shawnee Chilbers came to our university, and I was part of the... the uni life team down there with a lady who's still at the uni now called Anne-Marie Wilkinson.
And shout out.
Yeah, we used to do, help the events, or we'd support. We were basically volunteers. And I was also at one stage part of the advisory to the Chancellor body. And Sean came down and, I helped move in between the three campuses down in Gold Coast wasn't there then. Sorry, it was Lismore, Port Macquarie and Coffs.
Okay.
I had at Coffs that Harbour. Stage. Yeah, so we did that trip. And then we got on well, and later on I came up here and met you. That was 2013, I believe.
There you go, brother. Yep.
Yeah, and...
10 years now, bro.
10 years, and in that time,
you bought me lunch the other day, so we're hooked forever now, bro.
You know, in that time, I've been blessed to be able to practice most of my nursing in rural and remote areas.
Yes.
And I started off, my very first placement was in Will Canyon, far west New South Wales, and you know, I've just loved it since, and it's taken me all around central New South Wales. I've worked in bigger hospitals in Tamworth and Gympie.
Yes.
I've worked in Mount Isa. I've gone to Port Hedland. I've been up to Arnhem Land and, other places in the Northern Territory. And now I'm working in the Torres and Cape.
Yeah, fantastic.
Generally,
beautiful. So, look, working with that mob, like I said, black on black, you can't beat that. Even if you're from another country, you understand and respectfully understand the culture, and in regards to another man's country, and in regards to communicating and respecting of elders as well, but also talking to our mob in that deadly way that they're open to come to the table and get their medical check and have conversations with you, yes?
Yeah, no, I do hope to make some more alliances, I guess, in for myself as well as improve, which I look to improve my capacity and cultural capacity in particular, because being born in England, there's just innate stuff that I need to rewire in my brain when I go to a community to understand that things that would be said normally in England without without a second thought can cause major offence or can put people offside. The other thing, as a you know, a nurse who's only there for a short time, I try to let the community know that who I am. You know, obviously we've gone through the Nigerian father, Jamaican mother.
Sure.
How long I'm in their community from, and trying to give them that choice to, is it okay for you to interact with me, or because I'm only here for 4 weeks or 6 weeks or 2 months, would you prefer to talk to somebody else until you feel beautiful, comfortable with me? And you know, that's part of it, and asking them to teach me how to do things right.
Yes, and you're a student.
Yeah,
at the table,
I'm absolutely a student, because I say to people, look, if I upset your cross-cultural boundaries or say something that's inappropriate culturally, please let me know so I can learn and not do that again. And obviously that's compounded, because every community, even if they may only be 200 kilometers apart, can be vastly different in their cultural practices and protocols.
Sure, sure.
So it's an ongoing learning process.
Yeah, beautiful. You know. And like I said, you're a student for life, and you're open to the conversation and respectfully having that conversation with the mob out there. Are you happy to work with me? Because we're talking about dealing with people, not product.
Yeah, absolutely.
You
and,
know what I mean?
And that's what it is. I think health is a beautiful thing, and we are working within the systems that we have to deliver a holistic approach.
Yes.
But like anything in life, we can always improve. And so a lot of that is our own self-reflections.
Sure.
And finding out where those unconscious biases lie within us. Because, you know, this experience has taught me through my going through hospital, even as a nurse, there's things I go, oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Or I didn't know that was
going
to
happen. Be open-minded.
That, you know, if you research, and I'm a nurse, but I don't do big research into my own condition. I'm happy to sort of go remote, you know, with the flow a little bit. But as a person without any knowledge or health literacy, as they call it, it's difficult to be in that system, and it can be scary to be in that system, especially if English isn't your first language.
Yes.
You know, so
exactly.
That's difficult. So I haven't. I have reached out to various people like yourself and BBM helping me promote this message, but it's still a message that I'm going to look to other people to guide me how to be able to speak about that when I'm coming into in and around community, so as not to
scare
upset
them,
people.
Upset people. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. But the information getting across the table, that's what you're talking about.
You know, and that's what it's about. Again, we are doing this Planet Prostate event on the Prostate Cancer Foundation of Australia website. You can go on there and search. There's lots of other fundraisers they do. There's another thing which we might look to bring in. I think it's called the Blokes Big Tea or something like that. It mostly happens in Melbourne and stuff, but it's growing, and Toowoomba, I think, has one, and other places. So, you know, there's great fundraising stuff, but it's also about the conversation. You know,
exactly.
Let's go and get tested. Just ask your doctor if you're, as Anne said, you know, in that 30 to 40, if you've got a family history of prostate cancer. If not, sort of above 40, maybe every couple of years. You know, 50, it's like you're an ambassador for bowel cancer.
I am, yes.
So it's, you know, at the same time, you're dropping that in. Go ask your doctor for a PSA test. Yeah. It's not one or the other. It's a, you know, money-pronged approach. So.
Brother, look, you can't be black on black. And what I love about you, my brother, is you are so down to earth, and you're talking about communication with mob and community. But whether you're a nurse, doctor, football coach, or what have you, it's talking to people and not at people.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and communication.
It's a two-way learning.
Yes.
Always, you know, and it never stops for me. I've been here 28 years, and I'm still making mistakes.
Sure.
And I'm still asking for forgiveness.
Yeah, sure.
You know,
sure.
But when you preface that with, I may make mistakes, please help me. It's a lot more than coming in and thinking, you know, I know what I'm talking about. And yeah, so it's an ongoing learning capacity and a beautiful
But you help
journey.
Build a bridge as well to our non-Indigenous nurses out there, male and females, who are in community, who don't have the knowledge or the know-how in regard to communication. Because you've told me a couple of stories where you've sort of corrected them or guided them in conversations to make it easier for both parties.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I found, like you are bringing up the fact that I'm black on black, and sometimes that has opened me up to surprising conversations in very short spaces of time that have surprised me.
Yes.
And I'm not, you know, there's no one particular reason why it is, but when you are privileged to people's confidences or interactions in a short space of time, it's important to honor that and to share those things. Yes. If somebody's saying, you know, if they come to me and say, oh, David, you can't talk about this in front of my wife, you know, you can talk about me, then I have to respect that. Even though,
thank you.
Even though for me, you'd be going, well, you know, my partner's in the room, we're having the full conversation, but you have to be mindful that you can only go so far, even though their partner's in the room willingly.
Sure.
So it's a bit different at times.
Sure.
And certainly, like, you know, with this conversation, I have reached out to some of the health people that I work with and will continue to reach out and see, you know, for future building on that, how best I can assist raising the awareness for this in a way that's appropriate.
Well, good. We got our own black nurses in this country, anyway, and more power to their beautiful nurses out there, and midwives even, what have you, doctors.
Yeah.
But it's just great to have you at the table and be supportive. And like, we're talking about closing the gap here. We're talking about life expectancy. We're talking about health. We're talking about all the above, and that's the physical and the mental sense as well.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
We need all the help we can get. Yeah. And so I'm glad you're at the table in the medical world. Brother.
And, you know, and I'd like to pay homage to all those nurses out there.
Yes.
You know, obviously COVID has been a major stressor for a lot of health workers, as well as community. I'm not saying we had it better or worse,
no.
But a lot of people are under stress and a lot of people are still readjusting after that. But, you know, to all those health workers who take the time to learn, to take the time to go out and support communities, even if it's at short notice, where otherwise there would be no staff, you know, they really ought to be congratulated and hopefully respected and welcomed. They generally are welcomed, actually.
Beautiful, exactly.
You know.
And they're going to be appreciative and also respectful for being welcomed.
Yeah.
You know, that's a, I mean, they're there to do a J-O-B.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you're building bridges, then your J-O-B will be a lot better.
Yeah.
And you'll be kicking goals.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. People.
Yep.
Yeah.
To Delhi, beautiful. David Maxwell, Buster, thank you, brother, for coming along. Good luck with your journey. We're here to support you. A man with prostate cancer and having a deadly yarn with Ann Savage, CEO of Prostate Cancer Foundation of Australia, a very important act to get tested.
Yeah.
That's what the message is here.
Talk to your loved ones. If you know anyone in your family that's got prostate cancer, you know, have a chat about it. Have a chat with your doctor. You know, it's not an invasive test. It's just a blood test like all your others. And then there's various other options. So please, let's start talking about it. It's everybody's business because it affects the whole family.
True.
If a male member of that family or somebody with a prostate is affected. So, yeah.
Yes, fantastic. Thank you for your yarn, my brother. I also like to add to that regarding cancer, bowel cancer, and I'm ambassador of that. And what it is, you get it sent to you in the mail at the age of 50 and just get it tested. And I talked to Dr. Joel Wenatong from Newcastle, and when I interviewed him early this year, before I became ambassador back in June, I talked to him about February, and he said, look, Brother Trev, what it is tell our deadly brothers out there, don't go and do guna, go and do shit, and send it back to the government.
Yeah.
So that's what I use. Go and get tested, do it for your family, and look, stay strong. Dave, we'll talk soon, Buster. All the best, and we'll be yarning, okay, brother?
Thank you very much.
Too deadly, beautiful. Good yarn there with David Buster Maxwell, and look, he's also a right-hand man there to Shawnee Chulba. Shawnee, listen, if you're listening, brother, big shout-out from Brother Trev and Buster, and would you to catch up for lunch, and you boy, brother. Trinity Trev going to sign off here for this daily program, one-hour program. Thank you very much for your company. We've got the news coming up very soon with NERS, National News Radio Service, but thank you for the yarns here on National Talk Black with Trinity Trev Murray from McCurry. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong, and we'll yarn soon. Too deadly.